Hello everyone and welcome back to our school podcast. This is podcast number 3. Today we have a very special guest joining us. We are really excited to be speaking with one of our co-head teachers at Gerry's Primary School, Mr. Lee.
Hi, thank you for having me. Pleasure to be on the podcast.
Nice to have you. Mr. Lee runs the school alongside our second co-head teacher, Mrs. Diaz, who we will be hearing from next week. Who helps lead our school and make sure that Gerry's is a place where everyone feels happy, safe and ready to learn. Today we're going to find out a little bit more about Mr. Lee, what he enjoyed when he was younger, his favourite books, and what advice he has for our pupils here at school. So let's get started. Mr. Lee, thank you very much for joining us on our podcast today.
Brilliant. Thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Okay, so let's start by talking a little bit about books and reading. What was your favourite book when you were a child?
So when I was a kid, I loved information books, and I remember my granddad was massively into bird watching. Mm. So one of my favourite books wasn't actually a full-on reading book. It was the Osborne Spotter Guides, right, where you would spot different kinds of birds and British wildlife. Mm. But each one that you spot had a small piece of writing underneath about them, and I absolutely loved that book, took it everywhere. Would constantly read from it.
So, were you more attracted to the fact that it had pictures and writing?
Yeah, it was a big draw for me. Was it had beautifully hand drawn, hand painted illustrations of each bird. Mm. Short reading really worked for me when I was a child. So, a page on each bird, and it was a pocket sized book. Right. So, I would keep it in my pocket. I would take it with me. Often went out fishing or bird watching, and just sit and read. It was perfect for the kind of child I was and the things that I enjoyed.
To be fair, there's lots of children in our school who enjoy reading but sometimes find some books a bit too daunting, so they like the sort of one picture on a page, less writing, so they're still enjoying the idea. Thinking about when you were younger and in primary school yourself as a student, did you enjoy reading when you were in primary school?
Right, this is where I'm going to be really, really honest. Yeah. I loved reading early on, so I have really clear memories of the book was called 1, 2, 3 and Away, the reading series, and it was Roger Red Hat, Billy Blue Hat. Mums and dads listening might have heard that, but he's originally from Peterborough and kind of up Leicester way. So it was a big reading scheme in school. I loved those books. You had play mats, toys to play with, and each story came with a collection of like wooden figures. That was fantastic, but I found reading really hard. I remember clearly being in intervention groups to support reading. I didn't really have a key parent at home who read with me. And I think where I struggled with reading, and unfortunately I don't think I was helped that well at school, I did grow a dislike to reading and would avoid it. But as I grew older, you then meet certain inspirational teachers, and it would be around year two, I met a teacher who kind of agreed to, she was a teacher over here from France on a kind of placement, and she would just sit down with me every day and read and find books that I liked. And then I found that once I had that kind of support, my progress really, looking back at it as an adult, then I became more capable at reading, then I delivered a real love for reading. Now as an adult, it's one of my number one things to do.
Awesome. So my next question actually was related to your favourite teacher. Would you say you had a favourite teacher growing up for any particular reason, or just the fact that you're at school? And
absolutely, Miss Rowlands. She was from France. She came over on an exchange student. I would have been in year two, and she is the absolute reason I'm teaching now. And it was just that kind of, she made me feel really special. She sat with me, helped me through reading in particular. Knew that I loved art, so we'd sit and we'd draw together and we'd read together. And I went from a child that just didn't want to read to a child that would, she'd pick out books, like where we, very similar, we have the recommended reads in school. Yes, yeah. So she'd give me a book and say, I've read this book, I think you should read it. Yeah. I remember she introduced me to My Cat Likes to Hide in Boxes, which we had the other day with the science work. And so we went from kind of early picture books up to, I remember she gave me Stig of the Dump. I loved the book Stig of the Dump. And then she gave me Box of Delights, which is probably one of my favourite books. Yeah. Maybe not because of the book, because of the person who gave it to me and then how it then set what came next for me in terms of reading to become a strong, independent reader myself.
I think it's very important, because when I was in secondary school, a couple of my teachers gave me books as gifts. And I think you start to enjoy reading. Sometimes you enjoy reading for the fact that someone's just giving you a book. And I think that's a lot of us start from that.
I think it is. It's a great gift, isn't it? Yeah. It's a great gift.
I agree. One thing we've been doing in my class is, in our PSHG lessons, we've been talking about sort of what we want to be when we grow up. Yeah. So my next question to you is, when you were a child, what did you want to
what did I want to be?
Did you want to be a head teacher when you were in primary school?
No, not originally, no. So originally I wanted to be a rugby player. I wanted to go and play for Leeds Rhinos. Mm. I got close. I got very close. I got to semi-professional level, but was told I just wasn't nasty enough to play elite level rugby. So then I started working in play schemes and play groups. And I found that I worked for a company that looked after children that were potentially homeless or were kind of finding life really hard. So as a young adult, I worked with a play group there, and then it kind of edged towards teaching. Mm-hmm. And then one other area I really loved, I fancied being a red coat for Butlins, the parents who might know about the kind of entertainment team on holiday camps. I thought that would be great. But once I started working with young children from disadvantaged backgrounds, it then became clear that's what I wanted to do. I then took a job on working in two or three different play schemes. And then while working in them play schemes, someone said, you should go and have a look at being a teacher. Mm. And that's where it went.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And so, talking about your job as a head teacher, let's talk a bit about Geary's itself. What is one thing you really enjoy about working at Geary's? So obviously, you've probably been for about 25 years.
Me, a million. No, I've been, this is year 27. I think number one is the sense of home and community here. Mm. I think that's really strong as to why I haven't left. There's times where the job's hard, but that's far outweighed by the times where it's just an honour and a privilege. It feels like an honour and a privilege to be able to say you're in a school like Geary's, serving a community like Geary's, and each day you leave, you go home and you feel, yeah, I did something really important today. I helped certain people. I saw some amazing... We just seen the science fairs going on down the corridor, and there's fizzy pop explosions going on. And then sitting with kids and seeing kids read and seeing the kids progress. And I think for me, so number one's that sense of belonging. I really do, not being a London boy, I do feel like I've found somewhere where I belong. Mm. I think second, that there's a strong family feeling here. There's a lot... We're really fortunate that... You know, like the project you're doing here, that there's a lot of teachers in our school that really do care about the children and want to capture their voices, want to make sure their well-being is central. So there's that, what we call professional love, that teachers will go above and beyond and be honest to try and provide the very best they can. Yeah. I think if that culture wasn't here that we've worked hard on, then that might be a time to leave. But it is. It's something we've worked on, and everyone's embedded into that. So I think family and belonging, the culture of professional love, and then just the kids. Kids are awesome. The kids in this school are awesome, and families. It's just great, you know, get paid to come to work and smile every day. That's awesome.
That's a brilliant answer. That's good. So again, as we've said earlier, your job can become very stressful. So even head teachers need time to relax outside of school. So what do you enjoy doing outside of school? What are your hobbies? What do you like spending time with?
So outside, at the moment, my big one outside, I'm now coaching girls rugby. So used to play, but the body's a bit broken now. Sort of hit 50 years old and the body's saying, no, if I can still play, I would. Yeah. Might be playing for Essex Vets next season. We'll see if I can lose a bit of weight. Year 6's said they'd help me with that. So I'm a rugby coach, and it's setting up a team for girls. So I've got two daughters, they're 21 and 18 now. They played, they've moved on to college and university and stopped. So I coach with the Essex side, but also Bancroft, the local rugby team. They're decent, they're a really good side, 8 games unbeaten. So I love that. I love coaching in the week and then match days at the weekend. When I do get a chance, fishing. When I do get your gig, once I get a chance to get out and fish, that's the ultimate kind of
What do you find enjoyable?
Do you know what? I think you can take the boy out of the countryside and come to London, but you can't take the countryside out of the boy. Mm. So I love, it's some of my fondest memories of being a child was there were five of us that were like brothers, and we'd get up at 5 a.m, bags on our back, fishing rods taped to our bikes. We'd bike to the woods, to the rivers, to the lakes, and we'd be out all day long, fish, catch some fish, get up to some shenanigans, get back on our bikes, bike home. And I think as an adult, it's just that you get the excitement of all those memories, but then the peace, the calm and the quiet at the same time. And waking up at, say, 4 o'clock in the morning in your tent and seeing an otter swim past, you can't put that into words. It's just experiences that you can't put into words, that connection with nature.
Okay, brilliant. That's really good. Now, let's go back to reading very quickly. So some children in our school, or probably around all different schools, find reading easy and some find reading quite tricky. What advice do you have to give to children who do find reading tricky?
So the advice I'd give to children who do find reading tricky, for me, it's, you know, you've got it with hindsight, haven't you? So having been there as a child yourself, I got disillusioned with reading because I found it really hard. I didn't want to read. I tried to hide the fact that I found it hard. Mm. You had that sense of failing. Everyone else was reading. You weren't. There was an expectation in school that you'd be progressing with reading. I wasn't. Mm. So I think the advice was, it was almost a bit of shame, embarrassment, that then turned to a bit of anger, I'd say, and frustration. The key advice for me would be finding the adult that's there to sit and listen to you read. So my granddad took me every single week to the library, and he loved Tintin books. I didn't. He loved kind of comic strip books. But it's being open. It's being open to, he would give me comic strip books, he would find me information books, he'd sit and offer picture books, story books, and that one teacher, Miss Rowlands, found books and then put that Osborne Guide to Bird Watching in my hand. And then it's, my advice to those that are struggling is, in the moment while you're struggling, it feels really horrible and isolated, but trust that there's people around who can help, especially here in Gearies, and finding that adult that will sit and read with you. Because now, looking back, I've got 5 or 6 books on the go at the minute that I read, because I like a non-fiction book, I like a murder mystery book, I like a more adult book, I like a fun book. And it's like TV shows. If you just pick one book, you're going to struggle to finish that one book. If like TV shows, you're jumping in and out of different shows at different times, depending on how you feel, you'll read more. So that was a big tip that was given to me that really helped my reading. So if I felt like reading a book about fishing, I'd read a book about fishing. If I wanted to read a spy novel or a horror book, I'd read a horror book. But I'd have 2 or 3 books on the go at once, like you would 2 or 3 TV shows that you watch. And I'd dip in and out of each one. And that just increased the pleasure I found from reading. Yeah. And now as an adult, I'm an avid reader.
Excellent. I mean, I gave the same advice to the children in my class today. I said to them, read about 20, 30 pages of a book before you dismiss it. So if you sort of dip in and out multiple books, you're going to definitely find something you enjoy
reading. Definitely.
Okay, so one last question. So before we finish our interview, we'd love to hear your hopes for our pupils. What is one goal you would like our pupils to achieve either this year or something you want them to think about for the foreseeable future?
That'd be amazing. Do you know what? I think the goals... the goals for me moving forward, we've laughed and joked about parents listening in. I know I taught some of you. And it's... So when I meet... So this year we've got 4 or 5 parents in reception who I taught. And when you meet them coming back in through the gate, and you know you taught them as a 6-year-old, and they're coming in through the gate with their children, and they look happy, and they're successful, and they're contented, and they've got a good quality of life, that's the goal for me. I think it's one, look for happiness, but true happiness. Not in a corny Disney movie style way. So be the best version of yourself you can as a child. Get the qualifications you can behind you to get a good job, a good career, so you can then make life choices. So I come from quite a poor background. I managed to choose to come to London. I managed to pick a different life to what many of my friends had, meet my wife, have my children, have my own life. That's my goal and aspiration for our kids, that they take the chances we give them in education to achieve happiness, but in a real tangible form. So happy with an adult partner, good friends, good community around them, maybe children, maybe not, but just contented when they're older. And then if I was to bump into them and they were to make me feel old and I was to ask, how are you doing? The answer would be, yeah, I'm great. My life's going really well. That's it for me.
Amazing. Excellent. So thank you very much, Mr. Lee, for taking the time to join us on the podcast today. It has been really interesting to hear about your favourite books, your experiences growing up, and amazing advice you've given us to the pupils at Gehry's Primary School. We hope everyone listening enjoyed learning a little bit more about one of our co-head teachers and discovering some great ideas about reading. As we said at the beginning of the podcast, Mrs. Diaz's podcast will be next week, so please make sure you listen in for that. Thank you to everyone for listening to our school podcast, and we look forward to bringing you more exciting episodes soon.